Hi, JP.
Hello. How are you doing today?
I slept.
Yeah. Oh, good. That's good. I was worried about you.
I know. We had Sleepgate going on here. Every day it was, did Nick Wilson sleep at all last night? And finally, we did.
Am I going to be honest with you? Was there a part of me last night, as I worked so tirelessly hard to make sure I never complain about sleep around here, and having a three-month-old and an under-three-year-old, I was like, man, not fair of me to judge anyone's sleep, though. I said, everyone's got problems with sleep. Sleep is one of those things that just happens to everyone at any given time. So the fact that you battled through this week and now you had a good night last night, I love to hear it.
So like today, I don't think I would tell people you don't know football. Yeah, because I got sleep. The one thing that made our video, one of the things that made our video go, I don't want to say viral, but that pushed the video out and got people mad. Today, I would just be like, I think you might be box score watching. I might put it in like a nicer way. Okay. Not that you don't know football.
So we need you to be starved of sleep often? Is that what we're saying?
To get me to say, I don't like saying you don't know football.
Yeah, well, you said it.
I did. The only thing I didn't like in that video is that I said that.
That was the video.
Because generally, and I think you can speak to this, I will argue with anyone, but I like takes. I like a lot. I like
takes
a variety
are the
of
fun
takes.
Part of this job,
yes.
And a good, well-crafted take is the fun part of this job.
So that ended up being the thing that I think I was like, man, I wish I hadn't said that, because if you're an analytics person, I really would like to hear what you have to say. If you're a football guy, I like what you have to say. If you're just a casual fan, like, I think so much of what I would like this show to be, and I think you do as well, all takes are welcome. And I think that's what this show's going to be about.
Well, that is the heart of sports radio, is everyone gets to have their takes. You say they're dumb, you say they're great, and then you just kind of move on. That's kind of the existence of what we do.
So I want you to know, I know, you know football.
You didn't need to tell me. Yeah. That's fine.
No, that was a blanket statement to everyone.
Okay.
You know football.
Everyone knows football?
This is my version of...
If everyone knows football, does actually nobody know football?
I believe so.
I'm very Buddhist about it.
You know all football.
Oh, yeah?
If you know a million football...
If you know Canadian football, do you still know football?
You know Canadian football.
If you know football that is actually our soccer, do you know football? I don't know.
Soccer isn't a real sport, so
oh,
yes.
I mean, yeah, well, you said all football, so I wasn't we drew the line here.
American football, oh, God's
okay.
football.
Okay. I didn't see much of the reaction in general. Except for when, like, Mima texted us about it last night.
He wanted us to know.
That was the only insight I had into any of that. And I'm fine with all of it. Is there a part of me that thinks the stat community, which I am more embedded with than I think people realized, is there a part of me that thinks they get a little hurt about these type of things when people bring emotions into play? Yes, I do. Because in many ways, it is an affront to what they're trying to accomplish as well. And I think at the heart of it, they understand that there is something that is misleading about what they do. The same way people that use just their emotion, there's something that's misleading about that as well. And I think the beautiful thing about football is that there is no perfect X meets everything. That's not how it exists. Everyone's trying to do their best, but there is no perfect across the board. And even if you think you have perfect across the board, the beautiful thing about football is that you're involved with human beings, and these things change based off of whether or not they got good sleep the night before. Things that are never quantifiable.
Now, real quick here.
Yeah, so I was trying to bridge the gap between you guys.
Look at that. You are the truth broker.
I was trying to bridge the gap.
And also, the people undivided.
I also do want to know if the same people that are using all these graphs and everything to try to just shame Shador Sanders every single day and consistently drag him, I just want to know where's the same energy for someone like Quinshon Judkins, for instance, because those conversations are, they're non-existent. I find that interesting.
He finds it interesting.
I find it interesting. He's like fourth to last in EPA per rush, but like we don't get those graphics because there's an obvious understanding that he has a bad offensive line, right? Ashton Jeanty, dead last in EPA for rush for running backs. But there's an understanding there that, like, you know, a bad offensive line, the pieces around him don't work. So we can't possibly judge that, right? We can't possibly do that. But, they, you know, Shador doesn't get the same credit. No, I'm sorry.
You're wearing the shirt, all right? You're wearing
what?
The shirt.
Is it not serious because I'm wearing the shirt? Can people see that?
I think the crawl is across, and I think that's going to give you a look at that.
There we go.
Now, it should be noted, the Step Brothers Shador and Miles shirt. And again, you guys can see that on 92.3 The Fan's YouTube channel right now, actually in about 15 seconds. But this beauty here was actually your Christmas gift.
A Christmas
from Mac.
Present from Mac. Yeah, very nice.
He really
knows what a guy wants in life, you know?
He got you that shirt. I got the Blitz and Trapper album, a fur is what it's called. Come on now. You know your demo, Mac Robinson? You passed the test.
Well, great. Thank you, Mac, so much. I put the shirt on and I was walking around and I thought to myself, as I kept passing people and they kept just looking only at my chest, I said, I'm being violated a little bit. I said, eyes up here, buddy. Come on, eyes up here.
Well, the problem is you look and then you're like, well, my eyes are here. I might as well continue going down.
But I'm like, are we having conversations now? Is this what we're, hey, how's it going? Yeah. And then they get caught. They're like, hey.
I know. You know what it's like to be a woman in America.
That's
so proud of you.
That's what I'm saying. I felt it today. It was very awkward.
Easy.
Very awkward.
It is Jim Schwartz Day here in Cleveland. Jim Schwartz gets an interview. Tommy Rees gets an interview. The latest NFL news is that John Harbaugh merely getting fired got Mike McDaniel fired today. But no, that's not what went down, according to Adam Schefter, who's totally not, covering for NFL teams. We have a lot to get here. I do think just kind of acknowledging that it's Jim Schwartz's day. I think Jim Schwartz has some level of a real chance at this.
Yeah.
I think Tommy Rees is getting a head coaching interview because I think that's going to be good for Tommy Rees, and I think that's going to be good for his candidacy for OC jobs around the NFL.
Well, and it might also just be the type of thing that's just we just call it what it is. It's a courtesy interview.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. There's no problem with that. I always tell people, especially when they're going for jobs at this station, I tell them all the time, if you don't think you're getting the job, go for the interview, get the experience of doing the interview, and you're going to be better off for it. And I think that's all that's happening there.
So if from today, because you had to set this up, because we never want to do revisionist history, right? That's not the kind of show we want to be. If from today, Tommy Rees ends up becoming the Browns head coach, I will imagine that he had the single greatest interview in the, like when Tomlin, when the Steelers were going to call, I can't remember if it was Grimm or Wisenhunt, but one of those guys were faded the job. And then the Rooneys interviewed Mike Tomlin, and all of a sudden it became Mike Tomlin's job. Like, that's the kind of home run interview I think Tommy Rees would have to make this real.
The only thing that I think even takes that out of the equation, Nick, is the idea that this guy's been in the building for a year and a half. Sorry, 2 years. It's been 2 years. He's been in the building for 2 years. Like, it doesn't make sense to me as to why or what he could say that all of a sudden would be a shock to him. They already like him. They already think highly of him, clearly. So, like, is he going to come in and it'd be like, where's this been hiding for 2 years?
Well, no, but I think, half of these interviews are, here's my coaching staff, here's this, here's my view on the quarterback spot, here's what I think we need to get better at, here's my thoughts on what happened last year. I think he can. I don't know that he's gone around being like, I would have started Shador from week one, or I would have never traded Joe Flacco. Whatever the thing that could maybe potentially impress them, I think he's been going around the building saying it, because that's not really how NFL buildings work.
Well, I mean, yeah, it'd be weird if he went up to Andrew Barry and was like, I didn't think your idea here, here, and here sucked. But I also think it'd be weird if he went I also think it'd be weird if he went in there and told him, I think your idea here, here, and here sucked, and I saw it firsthand. And then Andrew Barry's like, oh, man, you're awesome. Let me give you the job right away, too. Like, I just think it's really hard to impress people the way that you're Tomlin. Mike Tomlin scenario where he walks in and then he gets the job when it was just basically a courtesy interview at best when you've seen the guy for 2 years. I just think that's an incredibly hard thing to pull off. And that's fine. That's not it's good experience for him to get the interview. It's not a big deal.
I do think it's a fascinating case of the profile, and the profile that I do think they would love to have is younger, offensive minded head coach that's worked with quarterbacks on a pretty in-depth level on multiple levels of football, which is Tommy Rees, right? Like, that's why Tommy Rees was brought in here. That's why Tommy Rees became the OC. He's gotten some of the credit of trying to make you-know-what out of you-know-what with this offense this year, whereas if we go to the results base, so again, process versus results, profile versus results, Jim Schwartz absolutely deserves a real conversation about this, even if you look at this and go, well, he's 59, he did okay in Detroit, and he might just end up being a great defensive coordinator.
Jim Schwartz deserves the real interview, the real look, the real everything about this. And I'm at the spot where I don't know that Browns fans, I don't think they'd be upset if it ended up being Jim Schwartz. But that's because we always look at this way. We always think about the DC or the OC, and we think about if it could be greener and if life would be better. I personally don't want to see it. I'm not in on Jim Schwartz being the next head coach, but whatever.
I'm just so torn because I don't think, again,
I don't think he's a bad guy. I like him.
He has one of the things that I like. Two of the things I like. I think he is a legit leader, whether you want to call that I think he can motivate people, and I think he can communicate. And I think you see that is part of his, does he know X's and O's? Yes. Is he incredible at kind of identifying talent, which is another important thing, I think, the head coach. On the defensive side of the ball, yes. But part of the thing that I think Kevin was missing is what Jim Schwartz has. It's just, all right, he is a retread coach. He does tend to fit the profile more of, hey, you were a really great defensive coordinator, and you were just kind of a guy as a head coach.
And I think he's better as a coordinator than he is as a head coach.
That's the more respectful way. That was what I said.
And the reality is that you'd be missing something in taking away from the defense if you even promoted him up. And like, there's just a lot about that I don't love, while understanding that you're probably going to lose him anyway.
Mm.
It stinks.
Well, no, see, I think that's
unless you go like Dan Pitcher. Oh, man, I read a profile on Dan Pitcher last night. It's exactly the type of guy that Andrew Berry loves.
Was it Ty Dunn's?
It was one of them from a couple years ago. No, it wasn't Ty Dunn's.
I was like, our buddy Ty Dunn
is a type. It wasn't
Ty
Dunn's.
If you're offensive-minded, if you're young and nobody really knows who you're yet, man, does he love you.
It was from a couple years ago, and it highlighted his whole entire journey, and the end result basically turned out to, it was like 4,500 words about how he's smart, and that's why he's different than everybody else. But not like just football smart, like smart, the type of thing that Andrew Berry is seemingly impressed by. And I said, oh, as I was reading it, every bit of his journey, I said, oh no, this is exactly the type of guy that Andrew Berry likes.
Yeah, here's the thing, so is Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia is like an astronaut, right? He's not the pastronaut, but he's like engineer smart. People dumb. And if you're people dumb, you don't win.
So that's part of this piece was trying to explain how he is he's more than just the smarts, but the smarts are the anchor to all of this, essentially,
mm-hmm.
and how he can do all the other people stuff. And basically, they tried to make him seem like he was the world's greatest thing. And then I just have to keep slapping myself in the face of the idea of, you can tell me all that, but when you had Joe Burrow, you still didn't really succeed with Joe Burrow. It's hard for me.
Yeah, go be the OC with Baker, and then let's talk.
And then we can talk turkey. Let's have a conversation.
Like, I it's interesting. You know, Baker's OC got fired today after 1 year, and people were like, pretty strong indictment on Baker. I'm like, the last two guys he got, 1 year, he's a head coach.
That's just what happens with Baker.
He got Liam Cohen as the head coach. Cohen was not going to be a head coach before Baker Mayfield. Neither was Dave Canales.
Yeah, same story.
I remember when Dave Canales got hired in Tampa.
He did a good job in Seattle prior to that.
Yeah, but he
got credit for Geno. He got credit for Geno, though.
But he hadn't been the OC.
I know, but he got credit for Geno, and that was like the big thing. That's why it's what got him the Tampa job.
But he wasn't going to be anybody's head coach.
Not at that time.
Still
obviously.
Might not be somebody's head coach.
I don't think he is at the current point.
Hey.
But that was him building up. But then he had Geno, and then he had Baker, and then he had this whole narrative around him that he could just do all of this with any quarterbacks.
Made the playoffs with Bryce Young. Maybe I should retract the fangs.
It became a Stefanski-esque narrative of quarterback whisperer. Just get this guy any quarterback, and he'll be able to do something with him. Not KOC level, but like it was on that.
Hey,
he was on a hot streak for 3 years.
Hey, Shador, you shouldn't throw turnovers. Oh, did somebody just whisper at the quarterback? Hey, this is how you read defense.
He's an actual quarterback
defense.
Whisperer.
Oh, he's whispering. Oh, my God. The only way. He talks to everybody else.
His big move is come closer. Unbelievable. I like it, though. Now I want a whole series on the quarterback whisperer. And he's really just this old football guy that makes people come close to them and then tells them everything that they need to know about the game.
I can't finish what I'll tell you off air what I was thinking there. 216-474.
Screen passes are for suckers.
Jack down Charlie, my ass. Throw You're a real quarterback.
Throw the ball deep and we both eat.
216-474-0092. Kevin Stefanski is a simp. I'll show you the way.
Like Stefanski checking in on Cleveland radio. Oh, good. They're not talking about me. Oh, come on.
I'm not a simp.
Come on.
I'll whisper to a quarterback. Jackson Dart, you're kind of a D. Oh, no, that's not how you whisper. I'm sorry.
Sometimes you just tell just outward truths.
Hey, you play like a 12-year-old.
It's his only way of being mean. He just has to whisper in order to do it.
Hey, Jackson Dart. No, I'm just not doing this, okay? We wish Kevin the best of luck in his future endeavors. All right, 216-474-0092. Do you guys think Jim Schwartz is getting a real chance here to be the head coach? What about Tommy Rees? Quick hits coming up at 2:40. Rob Long of the Big Ben Morning Show in Baltimore at 3. I will talk about the Lamar Ball breakup in Baltimore. Are they going to hire Matt Nagy? And if so, when? Pete Futek, College Football News at 420 to talk the Peach and Fiesta Bowls. And then Bobby Carpenter of 97.1 The Fan. In Columbus, we will talk a substantial amount of Buckeyes, including Matt Patricia's future. I want to get his take, though, on Mendoza versus Moore. We've got the QB Deadpool coming back at 3:40. We've got the not list coming up at 6:25 tonight. But 216-474-0092. Do you guys think Jim Schwartz is getting a real chance at the job? Same with Tommy Rees. And there is another job open in the NFL, but there's another head coach available. What do we think about him? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we got Rob Long of 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore coming up at 3 o'clock.
Like Rob.
Well, we are big in the Rob Long business, even when we disagree with him, like at the 30-year Ravens celebration. Some say that's the moment Lamar Ball came crashing down. Think about it. They toasted the town. They just put boots to booties for the Browns, and then they never recovered. Too much of a good thing, they say.
You said Lamar Ball, and I got very confused there for a second.
Yeah. Lamar and John Harbaugh.
Yeah, Lamar, call that Ball. Lamar Ball?
Yeah, Lamar Ball.
I thought he became part of the Ball family all of a sudden. I was like, is that LaMelo? LiAngelo? Is that, are we adding pieces now? What's happening here?
Maybe he was for a minute. Now he's been excommunicated.
There we go.
You got Big Fudge fired? Get out of here, Lamar Jackson. John Harbaugh looks like a guy that would like to be called Big Fudge.
I think that's only Marshall and How I Met Your Mother, and that's about it. I don't know. You called me Big Fudge the other day.
I did, yeah.
You did.
Yeah, you give some Marshall vibes in a good way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't take that as an insult.
Except you're not 7 feet tall like Jason Siegel.
No.
I think Jason Siegel's my height.
He's 6'4"?
6'4", 6'5", because he backed up the Collins twins in high school.
Oh, really? Yeah. I always thought how you first said it, where he was almost, I always thought he was like 6'7", 6'8", one of those.
6'7".
8'9".
You can't be 8'9", unless you're Wembanyama.
Man, he was on a heater, though, for a while, and I feel like I just don't hear or see him in anything these days.
Yeah. He's in Shrinking.
What's he in?
That show is phenomenal.
Oh, it's coming back this year, too.
Yeah, it is.
And instead of them doing those things where it's like, we take 3 years off in between seasons of shows, they're on the hurry-up offense there. I like that.
Well, Harrison Ford is getting older. We're big on that show.
We got to hurry it up because Harrison Ford might be dying.
You think we didn't do that with the Star Wars franchise and the indies that we pumped out?
No, I love the idea, though. Like, someone's on a call, someone's in a meeting. It's like, hey, listen, so I'd love to take 7 years like everyone else does in between these seasons, but Harrison Ford's not going to be here much longer. We got to get this thing going.
I think it's more
than... I mean, he might go 20 years. We don't know. He seems all right, but he also might not.
But he's not playing indie at 93.
Yeah, we also might not. He probably wants to step away sometime soon.
So, the big news of the day, obviously, Cleveland, Jim Schwartz, and Tommy Rees getting interviews with the team today. We have haggled over how real or not real their candidacy is, but a new head coaching candidate potentially has come available here thanks to John Harbaugh. No, it's not John Harbaugh. It's because of John Harbaugh. Here is Ian Rappaport announcing the McDaniel firing in Miami and giving a little analysis.
McDaniel has spent the last several days meeting with players, having exit interviews with the belief that he would remain the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. And to my understanding, this is something that Mike McDaniel has thought for several weeks, so much so that he informed people close to him. He talked to his coaches, indicating that he would be back for the 2026 season. Instead, the landscape of the coaching world has changed. John Harbaugh, for one, was fired. But that does not seem like the sole reason that the Miami Dolphins made this move. So a full reset in Miami, while Mike McDaniel sounded like he was incredibly emotional this morning, trying to deal with the sudden news that he was out as the Dolphins coach. He now becomes a top-tier offensive coordinator candidate for someone trying to ignite their offense.
All right. How phony are national reporters?
Well, he just said reset very funny. That was like, did you hear that? I don't know what that was.
That's not what caught my ear.
That's what caught me.
Hey, Mike McDaniel's been telling everyone for weeks that he's going to be back. And then magically today of all days, they got together, they had a little conversation, broke a little bread, and he's gone.
Well, I do love the idea.
What could have changed since Sunday?
Well, I do love the idea of the amount of people, though. Well, really, I mean, since Tuesday is the idea. Like the amount of people that when Harbaugh got fired instantly said, oh, crap, this might stink for me. And that list is so long across the NFL because now as you're seeing all these teams, I mean, you know what this was. This is just Stephen Ross just racing to make sure that Harbaugh knows the job is open. Yeah. This is for a chance to hire John Harbaugh. Yes. Not even a guarantee of hiring him. This is a chance to hire him.
Not just that. You know, one of the finalists for the job is Chad Alexander, who has a close relationship with Harbaugh. He might have just gotten the job, and he still might not get Harbaugh.
Which is insane. This is how this works. I mean, what that is the Denver Broncos hiring out Nat Hackett in order to try to get Aaron Rodgers, for Aaron Rodgers to then not end up in a Denver Bronco.
Yep.
But they're like, oh, you guys were together in Green Bay. You love him. You think so highly of him. Like, all right, we're going to hire your guy. And then it doesn't end up coming through. Like, think about the things, though. This is crazy. And listen, Stephen Ross is 85 years old, okay? He is getting up there, and this man is acting as if...
We got an Indiana Jones situation here.
You got to get on the hop, okay?
We got to make another Indy.
Stephen Ross is not just going to sit down and just lay down and be like, all right, I'm just going to ride off in the sunset with this just awful coaching situation and everything else. And so he's making a run for it. I respect it. But he falls in that category that Haslam falls into, of these owners that will basically do anything. They will walk a mile over glass to make sure that they have a chance to have a competitive team. And so, like, I've always kind of respected it from afar as they continue to just never get there.
I respect it. One, I'd respect it if national NFL reporters just called us what it was. Mike McDaniel wasn't getting fired until John Harbaugh got fired, and then things changed.
Yeah.
I don't know why anyone's allergic to the truth in that, or why it makes the Dolphins look bad, because everyone, and there's not a Dolphins fan today that's like, darn. It's all Harbaugh's fault. No, everybody's excited to go to Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Now, what's going to be funny is if they end up with Matt Nagy as a head coach.
Which is a very real possibility. This is part of these dynamics. And I don't know. Do you think that Stefanski is looking at all this? And some people would say it's bad, but maybe he looks at it like, now I got leverage. Now maybe the Giants are in play for myself. Maybe I can actually call my shots a little bit more. Like, there, because there's going to be enough teams now. Now we have 8 teams with fired head coaches and only one John Harbaugh. That leaves us with 7 very upset fan bases, maybe 6. The Titans have no realistic expectations, but like enough fan bases that are like, you weren't able to land the white whale.
Now, are you ready for, I don't know if this is a plot twist or not.
Okay.
I think Mike McDaniel becomes one of the 3 top coaches for this job.
Not even a question.
Yeah.
He instantly rises on my board I got Mike McCarthy 1 with great shame. Great shame that I present that and I say that.
You've brought shame to Charles Peterlin.
Listen, I am.
Thank you for remembering his name. He was like, this kid's going to call for McCarthy at some point in the future.
I get embarrassed at the thought of somebody being like, yeah, Jonathan wants McCarthy. Like that brings me, I break out in hives thinking about that, okay? Yeah. That brings me with great resentment and shame to my family that I say McCarthy's at the top.
You are tying everyone together, though, because everyone's going to look at you like an idiot for saying that.
Yes.
Whereas if you took a McDaniel.
Well, not on Facebook. Mike McDaniel, Facebook will like this. they like McCarthy.
Why? But McDaniel... You would have a lot of people go, well, this JP knows football.
Well, so that's why McDaniel's my number 2. Let's not get too crazy here. McDaniel's my number 2.
Okay.
And then Saleh's my number 3. But as of right now, McDaniel's my number 2. And does it mean that
Pitcher fall in this? What about Adam Dirty?
Actually, well, you know, that profile with Pitcher did go a long way with
that's
myself,
true.
Did it not? He's in
I
the second
I think it went
tier.
The wrong way, I thought.
He's in the second. It went a long way. I didn't say which way. It says that it went a long way. I like the idea of McDaniel and the fact that he can really just boast about taking Tua to the playoffs. I think McDaniel, if he took a year off and just kind of hung out for a little bit, I think he would age very well in the next coaching cycle, because I think Tua's going to end up being a career backup quarterback, and that'll be very, very easily exposed in the next upcoming year or two. And the idea that you got him to the playoffs is going to be looked at in a very, very kind way to McDaniel.
I think there's a lot of Browns fans that immediately when this happened said, hey, Jim Schwartz, the head coach, Mike McDaniel, your OC, let's ride. And I understand why, as a Browns fan, you would think that way. You will not be his first choice as an OC. You won't.
No.
There will be plenty of teams. He might be able to work with Jaden Daniels in Washington. And remember, there's a connection there from when Shanahan was on the staff in Atlanta with Dan Quinn. You're not going to be the first choice. You might not even be top 3 choices to be the OC. You also might be the only team willing today to hire him as a head coach definitively and rush to do it. I don't know that they should. I'm just saying, I think the only scenario where Mike McDaniel lands in Cleveland is as the head coach.
Yes.
And here's the thing. If I can keep the defensive coordinator that I know knows how to identify and develop talent, whether you think Mike McDaniel's a good head coach or not, and he doesn't, like, the biggest concern with him for me would be the same thing that Kevin, the leadership thing and keeping a locker room together.
Mm-hmm.
Now their floors are different. Mike McDaniel's floor was 7-10. Kevin's was 3-14. But Mike's a better offensive mind than Kevin was. He is.
I agree with that.
Like, and specifically look to his use of motion, look to his use of basically combining concepts or combining, it's very Shanahan kind of thing, but combining different looks out of the same set. And there's a reason, like, he's really, as an offensive mind, people think he knows how to scheme up football, and they think he knows how to develop talent as well.
Now, do I think this instantly means that all of a sudden next year we're in the playoffs and he's got this thing righted? Like, no, like, there'd still be a lot of speed bumps with McDaniel. You want to talk about weird podium exchanges, he's got them plentiful. You want to talk about all sorts of different, you talk about the culture stuff, the idea that he wouldn't name Tua captain before the season and name six other guys.
I think he was right on that one.
No, but it was weird.
That one aged well.
It was weird. I think a lot of the stuff with McDaniel will age well. That's kind of the point of all this. I think he's going to age well. And so you'd be buying as the stock is low, but for this Brown search, it might be as good as we could do.
Yeah, like if you say, and again, this is no disrespect to Dan Pitcher. I'm not familiar enough with him and maybe this is more like a Stefanski thing with him. I just don't have a good enough feel about him to get super excited about it. But if my choice is, Dan Pitcher is very smart. You know, he has an analytical bend. He has all these things. But yet he's never called plays. And he's, a two-time offensive coordinator. Or sorry, first-time offensive coordinator with Joe Burrow. Or I can go with a head coach that, again, the worst he's done is 7-10, did go to the playoffs twice with Tua.
I think the Tua part needs to get more emphasis with all of this. I think we need to start making that one do a little bit more heavy lifting, because I think it's going to look very impressive that he was able to do anything with Tua by the time we all find out exactly who Tua is, which I think he's kind of starting to show everyone.
But I think the entirety of the search is, or it's Mike McDaniel or Dan Pitcher. It's Dan Pitcher or Robert Saleh. And I don't, I could draw that up. We could play the or game right now, the old ahead or behind that used to be used on mornings here back in the day. We could do that. And I think mine would look different than yours, and yours would look different than Mac, and Mac's would look different than Jake's, and everybody's would look different. That's what makes this, I guess a little wonky, trying to figure out what the right move is. And I think fans saying, you know what? I don't know McDaniel would come here. I think that's another fair part of this conversation.
Sure it is. I think ultimately, though, this feels very similar to when we were talking about quarterbacks in August of last year. And if you took Shador out of the equation because he wasn't getting first team reps, but it was like, do you like Dylan Gabriel? Do you like Joe Flacco? Do you like Kenny Pickett? And it's like between the three of them, you're basically just arguing for which has got the best chance to what, you know? And that's kind of where we're at right now. And that's not great because we don't have solid arguments one way or another to really be like, I believe in this guy so much. But with McDaniel, I believe in him more than I believe in unknowns and big time unknowns like Dan Pitcher.
216-474-0092. Is Mike McDaniel going to be a top candidate for the Browns? Quick Hits leads off with changes around sports. Very, very specific here in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Winner. From what he actually thinks he is and what he eventually does get paid.
Now, obviously, this is, so next year will be his last year of arbitration. Randy Arozarena, mm-hmm. who settled with the Mariners today, is in his last year before free agency. So the year that you are in does matter a little bit.
Yeah, for sure it does.
Randy Arozarena got like $15.5 million, and Stephen Kwan got
usually in the last year of arbitration, I think it tops out somewhere around $20 to $22 million, somewhere in that range. So, like, I mean, yeah, there's a big bump, and there's a big bump with each successive year. This is not anything bad for Kwan. It's the realities of where Kwan is right now, and I just don't see him being on this team for a very long time. Right now,
Has the moment passed that he could be traded this offseason?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think everyone's lining up for at the deadline. But it also matters what type of team we are too. Have you seen some of the early projections on season win totals, which are always garbage, by the way, and they always skew lower. Remember that, guys. You get a handful of teams.
It's another 72 win season.
80.5.
Oh, that's probably good for a team that has two good offensive players right now.
80 and a, I know.
80 and a half for this offense? Woo!
Well, it's the same offense we had last year. We did better than 80 and a half. But
they went 85?
It seems like, was it 86, 87?
6-7.
When the dust settles, they seem to always. There we go. When the dust settles, it seems like they always overperform. But they always get these. The early lines never favor them. But right now, yeah, they're third in the AL Central. Last I checked,
it's tough.
The lines aren't good. The numbers don't.
It's
favor
tough
them.
To have the offense of last year, and your big move so far is Austin Hedges.
They've done nothing. Like, yeah. Somebody needs to wake Antonetti up and do something if you want to change our mind. Guardians are 80.5, Royals 81.5, Tigers 86.5. That's your AL Central. I won't even do the Twins and the White Sox.
The Tigers have done nothing also, so thank you very much. Going to get another big Javi Baez season? Methinks not. Omaha!
Yeah, all they've done is lose pieces and threaten to trade Skubal.
I had heard at one point people were talking
great times
about
in Detroit.
Like, I'm almost surprised Skubal's still there because
still
there
might happen.
There's some point. It was mid December, so of course we didn't talk about it. There's some point where people were like, in the next 24 hours, it's happening. LA, and Skubal are negotiating a contract, and when that happens, we're done.
It was always LA initially, and in the recent week or so, it's turned to the Mets, oddly enough. And
guys I like, but not for Skubal.
Well, they've completely turned their team
for Kwan,
upside down.
For Kwan, yes. The kid, the center fielder, I think his name is Benji. That's a good piece. They got an arm. You're not getting Nolan McClain for him, but they've got good pieces. But like maybe I think it's Jonah Tong, maybe him and Benji, maybe we'll see, but not for Skubal.
Hawks are trading Trey Young to the Wizards for CJ McCollum.
You're a wizard, Trey.
It's a dynamite breakdown. Harry Potter?
Yes.
Harry Potter, good. Yeah. Good. Want to make sure nothing gets by me.
That's how I would have Robbie Coltrane passed away, unfortunately, but I would have a Robbie Coltrane impressionist just call whoever I went. Yeah, that one too. When I trade for a player with Washington,
yeah.
I would just have him go and be like, "You're a wizard, LeBron."
Hey, we're having fun.
I got very piratey
whatever makes you
but
smile.
No,
but this is the
Wizards
sad, this is the sad
this
reality of this is that this is where Trae Young has put everyone as far as the space in their brain is that I think everyone's just done thinking about Trae Young. They're done talking about Trae Young. They don't want to deal with Trae Young.
But he is at the bottom of the perceptional ladder right now. Like for a lot after the Knicks series, his perception was so overly inflated.
That was pretty cool.
And,
that was a great
and
moment.
Where we find like the next great Knicks troll. We got a rivalry here, and then we never heard from him again.
Yeah.
And he's slowly just fallen down the perceptional ladder. You can't get any lower than Washington. They've got Sar, who's a nice player. They've got I can't remember which Keyshawn it is. I think it's Keyshawn George.
Yeah, you confused him and Keontae recently.
Who doesn't?
Yeah,
but they have some
classic
pieces.
George on George crime.
You know, I'm a big Bilal-Alcatraz fan. I kind of think he's going
to
supersede
expectations.
They've
had such high draft picks in each of the past 4 years. Like at some point, Washington's got to start to turn this thing around.
But the win for Washington is you don't give up a pick. You gave up C.J. McCollum, Browns fans,
right?
Browns fan and Corey Kispert. Good players. Trae Young's better than that.
And
you've got the best player in the draft
for
no picks.
They had the cap space to absorb this. Like this is not a bad thing for Washington. But it's just man, what a fall for Trae Young.
So you know,
it's just such a big fall for Trae Young.
Well, but this is where you begin the build back. Speaking of falls, the immediate report out was now Atlanta can build around Jalen Johnson and they can focus on the trade deadline.
Well, they want to get Anthony Davis.
That is rough.
That's what they want.
I love AD. Don't get me wrong, but he's
and there are people that believe that
early
30s. There are people that believe that Rich Paul has already set up all of this already.
Yeah,
like he's already done all the work behind the scenes.
This
like it's
kind of how the NBA works.
It's all what's going to happen. And then Atlanta shifts from a solely offensive basketball team in the Trae Young era to just trying to be this defensive stalwart team.
Here's the problem: AD is not good enough to carry your team long term. So in the same way that Luka for AD was a bit bird brained, this also. It's not bird-brained. AD's a good piece, and if you can get him, cool. That'll change the team. It might change the team for a year and a half, and that implies that AD's staying healthy.
It's going to make it a little interesting, though. Jalen Johnson's been incredible, though. Like the Hawks have some pieces, though. Like
Onyeka Okongwu.
Yeah, they're not dead. I don't love the idea of just everyone giving up on Trae Young, but I understand how we got here.
Yeah, I just don't love any trade where you give up the best player. in the deal. And then really long term, the best thing you have is like a decent rotational wing piece, a big wing. I mean, that's what Corey Kispert isn't a power forward, but he's what, 6'7", something like that?
8'9".
Omaha! Yeah, I did that just to do that. Yeah. But he is 6'7". Yeah. Washington quarterback DeMond Williams is in the portal, and Washington is cross with him, as Washington says they have a legally binding NIL deal. DeMond Williams' agent has fired him as a client, while Oregon head coach, head of Oregon and Indiana, weighed in on the matter.
Contracts, you'd love to say that they should be enforceable, and you know, at some point we'll see what that ends up looking like, but I think that's the secret behind a contract, right? Is it supposed to mean something?
All right. Are you pro Williams here, or are you pro Washington here, before we get to what Lanning had to say?
I'm a little torn on this one. I don't love the idea that college football has just gone completely wild, wild west, and they've completely turned over everything in just a matter of a very short amount of time. You know, I tend to side pro player in a lot of things. I do think if you sign a contract, you should have to be at some point liable to it, but coaches don't have to live by that either. So like, if we're really going to go wild, wild west, then let's really go wild, wild west. And that's where I would then, of course, side with the player.
So I just am torn. On one hand, DeMond Williams knew the piece of paper he was signing. So
yeah, like, I don't love the idea that you just get to skirt out of it.
But I also don't love that you can't force somebody to go to school where they don't want to go to school.
You really can't do that.
So that's weird. I think in the end, if it's a legally binding contract, I would be surprised if he wasn't held to it.
Now, I do think, like, here's what should happen, Nick. If you sign that deal like that, that's fine. We can't force you to go there. This isn't prison. This is America. We can't force you to do things you don't want to do.
For now.
But if you sign that, then you just can't go anywhere else and then sign and play for their money.
Like, you can go to college there, but you can't play football there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Go get an education all you want. But like, you then have to sit at UCLA for a year or whatever and hang out, and then next year you get to go ahead and then you can play quarterback. But in that year, you've signed up to that school. As far as football is concerned, you have to play at that school.
Lane Kiffin is just causing trouble left and right.
But
now,
I think where we're headed with all this is I think eventually it'll be maybe like four or five years from now, Nick. I think we're going to get to a spot where you have, when you sign up for a school, when you commit to a school, whatever, you're going to be presented a contract, and you get to then pick the amount of years that you want to sign on that contract. If you want to bet on yourself, you sign a one-year deal. But after that one-year deal, you'll be a free agent. You do whatever you need to do. You sign a three-year deal. Again, it's a bet on yourself. If you're awesome, just like in real sports, well, all right, maybe the team got a deal there. If you stink, guess what? You stole them. You robbed them blind, okay? But, like, it'll be a betting situation, but I think it'll be a, you call it, 1 to 3 year contracts is what we eventually end up getting.
Now, usually I love Dan Lanning and his message. I think more often than he's right about the state of college football and athletics and how to get it right, it is rich. It is rich as Bezos for any college coach to be like, you know, contracts should mean something. College coaches, on especially college basketball and college football, are so disreputable when it comes to contracts that schools have to put in $60 million clauses that stop you from taking jobs, or you have to have that money paid to the organization. So for college coaches to be like, I mean, what are we doing here? Where's the loyalty? Where's the honor? It's like,
I know.
Dan, I love you, buddy. You're a great head coach, but are you the guy? Is any college coach the one to be putting this message out there?
It runs hollow when they say it and they're the presenter of it, but I do think there's a reality in college football right now that exists that it really bums me out and I think stinks, is that if a player doesn't get starting time, boom, to the portal they go.
That doesn't, you know,
affect
me at all.
If they don't get practice time, boom, to the portal they go. Like, there's no sense of, hey, I committed to this team. I'm going to grind it out. I'm going to find my way to the starting lineup. It's all, I'm not getting the time because I stink. I'm going to go to a different school where they'll give me the time.
If football games are good, I don't care. I listen, on an individual level, I care about, I hope these kids are making the best of their opportunities. But in terms of,
I think it's bad life lessons.
Who cares? It's not college football's job to teach you lessons.
No, but I'm just saying that is a ramification of it. I just think it's bad. I think the idea that all these kids, they just cry if they don't get a starting job, and then they just go find a school that will, and they immediately bolt. It just doesn't teach any perseverance or anything.
Well, yeah, but again, like, that's just not the job of an institution. It's not the job of college football. You have to learn those lessons, and how do you learn them? You jump from thing to thing. and maybe make some money along the way, but maybe you cost yourself some money as well.
Well, that's why I like the 1 to 3 year deals. I like to sign it up, and then you get to either reap the benefits of that or you don't. But at least it's better than what this currently is. 35% of college football players were in the portal this year. It's way too many. But
why? Why is that too many?
It's an insane amount.
I don't know why.
What do you mean, why?
The quality of college football has only gotten better with increased eligibility. It's not really hurting the actual thing itself. Is it hurting individual kids based off the decisions they make?
No, I'm telling you, it's hurting my enjoyment of it is what I'm telling you.
Oh, but I don't know why. Like, I don't care.
I can't keep track of who's on what team anymore. Yeah. It's everyone's all over the place.
Yeah, but if you played at Wake Forest and then Tech and then went to North Carolina, I'm going to remember you eventually. I'm like, oh, wait, didn't he used to play? There were like three guys.
6 years, I know.
Three guys in the playoffs.
You'll be on your seventh year of eligibility, and I'm like,
you used to be at BG.
Yeah, and I got three different schools that I know you used to be at, too.
It does not impact my fandom at all.
Yeah, I don't like.
Even though my team's usually the one getting ripped off.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, constantly your team gets ripped off.
All the time.
If I was Eddie George, I'd be like, what the hell, man? Yeah. How am I supposed to even do this?
Yeah, if I was Eddie George,
Nick,
I'd be like, three-year contract, JP.
Win the already so we can get out of this mess. Be my Mark Cuban.
Rob Long of 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore talks Lamar Ball and John Harbaugh's firing in Baltimore in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Presented by Chumba Casino, your online casino for plays, spins, and a chance to score. Must be 21 and over. Terms at chumbacasino.com. Miami and Ole Miss face off in the college football playoff semifinal in the Fiesta.